Those of you who know me know that I've been a dancer and dance enthusiast all my life. And Michael Jackson played a massive role in it. So about 2 weeks ago, when I came across this controversial new documentary called Leaving Neverland, which discusses Michael Jackson's sexual abuse allegations, somewhere in the back of my mind, I just wanted it to prove that this pop star that I idolized was innocent. But it ended up being everything that I hoped it wouldn't. Somehow I wanted it to reinforce my belief in his innocence so that I could go back to idolizing his creative genius. I longed for it to cast reasonable doubt in the narratives of the victims so that I could return to overplaying his songs that defined my childhood. I wished for it to just be a mere misinterpretation of the life of this so-called troubled pop star so that I could continue to perform his signature moves guilt-free. Yet I found myself completely heartbroken at the realization that I could no longer rely on this crutch of denial. Hey friends, this is Anurag Ramchandran, and welcome back to Millennium Musings. Today I have a very special guest, Newman De Silva, who is not just a great friend of mine, but was also my dance instructor back in the day. He's not just an extraordinary dancer and choreographer, but is also a wonderful artist. You can check out his work at Indra the Second on Instagram. Now, before we get into today's episode, I just want to give a quick trigger warning to all my listeners. We are going to be talking about sexual assault, and I know that this can be triggering for a lot of us. So without further ado, let's jump straight in to today's episode on Michael Jackson, sexual assault allegations, and the art versus artist separation. As always, thanks for tuning in.
So I've never been on a podcast, so this is the first. I'm excited. Maybe it doesn't show on my face, but I'm
cheers
excited.
Cheers to some caffeine.
Cheers.
All right. Newman, welcome to Millennial Musings.
This is fun. I've never heard any of the other podcasts, but I know it exists.
That's good.
And now after this, I will start promoting. I'll be like, listen to Millennial Musings.
With Anurag.
And it has that face of yours with that.
Yes. Hey, see, you know the artwork.
I know the artwork. It's good.
Awesome. So this came about just actually in a conversation that we had a couple of days ago, in fact, where we were just casually chatting about like this movie, this documentary. And
which I hadn't seen
which
yet.
You hadn't
at
seen
that
at that point.
Last Friday.
And you'd heard about all the controversies around it.
Yeah, I wanted to watch it.
And the people involved in it. And so let's start with, like, before we go into the movie and the documentary, let's talk about, like, when's the first time that you came across any work by Michael Jackson, and what's the kind of impact it left on you?
I think from wherever you are, I was in the 90s, Michael Jackson was huge, especially in like the 90 to like 91 to like 2004-5, he was huge. And at that point of time, I think even if you didn't want to know who he was, like, I mean, he existed, right? He came to Bombay to perform here, and I was definitely a fan of his music. I wasn't like a hardcore crazy fan back then, like maybe in the 90s, because I don't really think I knew what was going on as a kid.
Yeah.
But I think once I got into listening to music, and once I became a teenager, I think that's kind of when I kind of listening to his music more actively. I specifically remember listening to, there was a song called You Rock My World.
Yeah.
So that was like, so when that video released, it was with Chris Tucker, if I'm not
Chris
wrong.
Chris Tucker, yeah, I remember
so
that.
So that's the, that on television, on I think it was MTV, that's the only video that played all day. It was like a 30-minute video, and it played on loop all day. Like, I specifically...
It's actually crystal clear, yeah, even
like,
for me right
like
now. Yeah,
it
yeah.
played through the day for 24 hours. That's all that played on MTV. Like,
and what a song, too.
What a
right?
song. It was a great song. It was not one of his best.
Right.
But it, and I think when that came out, this was towards like the
early 2000s.
Yeah, I think You Rock My World came out in maybe 2003 or 4, whatever.
Yeah,
we can
yeah,
look
yeah.
it up. But like, that wasn't his best phase musically.
No.
But
definitely
it was still him trying to make a comeback, and I thought it was a great song. I mean, again, not one of his best, but it's still a fucking great song. Like, if you listen to it.
And the beauty of it is that, like, with Michael Jackson's songs, and you can bring up a conversation about any one of his songs with anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And most likely they've heard it, or they've heard of it.
Of it, definitely. Definitely.
And you can't say that about many other musicians.
You can't say it about, I think, any other musician.
At
this point of time, like, there's probably 4 generations of people that know who Michael Jackson is.
Exactly.
And, I mean, there are a lot of other artists that people have heard of, but I think culturally, in terms of even as a musician, as a performer, I think the kind of impact he had on people goes beyond just him being a musician.
Right.
It went into him being a performer, him having an influence. Like, you meet any dancer in this day and age, like, I think every dancer has, like,
has been influenced at some point.
Yeah, like, you'll be like, oh yeah, Michael Jackson, moonwalk. Like, oh, right. How can you not have practiced the moonwalk or try to pick up Michael Jackson choreography? So it goes beyond him just being a musician, I think, which is quite interesting. Which is also what makes everything more complicated,
right.
I think, at this point, after what we're going to get into.
Yeah. And I mean, I still remember, like, one of my first impressions of Michael, like, my parents don't listen to English music at all.
Oh, wow.
Like, don't. And they have never, and they probably never will. Right?
Yeah,
like,
but like,
they listen to stuff that my brother's playing right now, and they're like, what is going on?
What is going on? This is good, but I don't know.
Yeah,
what
but what is going on? But they would sing along to Michael Jackson lyrics. They would know the names of the songs.
Exactly.
They would want me to dress up as Michael Jackson for, like, a dance competition. They would encourage, oh, why not a Michael Jackson song?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
And it goes that deep. And so I remember, like, one of my first, like, I can never forget the day I listened to, like, I watched a video of Thriller, you know?
It's crazy.
Or Smooth Criminal. I think what influenced me more was Smooth Criminal. When I saw that and, like, the moves,
brilliant.
Which I can still,
the
like,
whole, the whole the moonwalker and the lean thing and, like, there's videos on YouTube that, like, just talk about how he did the lean. And he apparently, if you've seen the Smooth Criminal video, like, he does that lean, right? The 45 degree lean. So apparently he created the whole the mechanism for it to happen. And then he patented it as well, from what I hear. Again, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I actually tried pulling that off in a dance class. I think we did try.
We did try pulling the legs and, like,
and
the,
it didn't work, yeah, but that's fine. We tried.
Which also, like, I probably have to mention that Newman was, like, my dance instructor back in the day, and back in Dubai. And again, one of the, like, if we talk about you to anybody who's taken classes with you, Michael Jackson comes up almost immediately, because you did a lot of imitations
it
of Michael
does,
Jackson.
Does, yeah.
You did some of the Michael Jackson moves. So that's what, like, you know, it's so kind of inbuilt into a dancer's DNA.
It
of
is,
like,
it is by default. Like, even like when I used to be a dance trainer, like you said, like, the first time I ever danced to a Michael Jackson song, like, when I did, like, a solo or whatever, it kind of just happened. It wasn't like a plan saying, oh, I love Michael Jackson. It kind of just became something people associated with me.
Correct.
Because of the hair.
I don't know what it was, but
it was like, oh, Newman is there. Maybe he can do the
Michael Jackson part.
And then it kind of stuck.
Right.
And that, in a weird sort of way, also got me more interested in Michael Jackson's work.
Right.
In a weird sort of way.
Right.
Like, I don't,
right.
It's like a
kind
weird,
of like the combination of,
yeah,
like, them, like, talking about it to you, as well as, like, you kind,
like,
of like,
oh, maybe I do like Michael Jackson. I mean, like, or his work or his music. And, but yeah, I got associated with him as a person in a weird sort of way. Although I would love to have seen him live. Like, when he came to Bombay, it didn't come my way. But
you were probably really young at that time.
I was super young.
Yeah.
But I knew he was in the city.
Right.
Like, everybody knew he was in the city. Like, I know my friends' parents who saw him perform live.
Wow. Right.
But I know, like, my friend's parents saw Michael Jackson live in when he performed in, I think that was the only time he came to Bombay.
I think so.
I think that was the only time he came to India.
Not sure.
But it worked to his favor, so, I guess.
And it's crazy that, like, just 5 minutes into this episode, and we're already, like, everything that we've mentioned so far is just, like,
Good things.
Every word that we've used so far, if you think about it,
yeah, it is.
Complimentary to his skill set as a performer, as an artist, as a musician.
And I feel that's the, that's why it makes it even hard to talk, like, bad about him. Or not, like, talk bad about him, but, like,
but even, like, break it down, right? Like,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
ever since I watched this documentary, and we're going to get into it real quick, but ever since I watched the documentary, I've been thinking about who can I bring on this podcast that I can talk about this to, right?
And when you mentioned it, I was like, shit, I got to do this. And it would give me a reason to watch the documentary sooner.
Exactly.
Also, like, so that was a good thing.
And, I mean, I think now is the time that we can start getting into it a little bit, but it's called Leaving Neverland.
Leaving Neverland, watch it. If you haven't watched it, watch it online. It's free. Say no to piracy. I'm lying, say yes to piracy. I don't know why.
I do not personally endorse that statement.
No,
but
say no to piracy. We're joking, okay? Watch it online. We paid for it and watched it, okay?
But on that note, it's a very difficult documentary to get through.
Yeah, dude, it was complicated. Like, I was like, shit, am I ready for this?
Right. I mean, even the synopsis, right? I mean, we're not giving too much away when we say that it's about two individuals who were subjected to, allegedly.
Yeah, I was just
we gotta be very careful with the language.
Allegedly.
Who were allegedly subject to sexual relations with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, for a good amount of what?
From when they were 7 to like
7
15,
to like
16. 14.
Yeah.
And these two individuals are, I mean, one of them played.
One of them we kind of have followed his work as well.
Wade Robson. And the other is James Safechuck, who also was like a child model, artist, actor.
Yeah, he was.
And so it's focused on them, and it talks about from their lens, from their
It clearly
of view,
kind of covers their side of
their
things.
Their side of the story.
Which I get, obviously, because Michael Jackson is dead. He can't really
right.
bring any, shed any light on this.
Right.
And like, I've kind of stopped myself from looking at reviews of the documentary or to see what people are saying till we met.
Exactly.
Like, I've not read up on
Nothing.
Anything because I didn't want to form an opinion based on what people were thinking. Like, I was like, I want to probably just discuss my view of
exactly.
the whole thing.
Exactly. And I think that's what I wanted was like a completely, like a raw explanation on like what were the feelings that let's get right into it. Like what did you experience while you were watching it? What was that initial guttural reaction?
In all honesty, like if I have to break it down into one line, man, I believe them, man. I believe
it's hard not to.
It's hard not to believe, like because like it's like when you listen to them narrate the whole thing, and their parents are also there narrating it. Their families are there kind of saying that yes, they were in this place at this point of time.
It's corroborated.
Yeah, it is. And like the only like and then the maid says, the Michael Jackson's maid says she saw him with them and whatever. Like, I'm a Michael Jackson fan, but like let's get real. Like the kind of power he had, he can easily get away with shit like this. Like, straight up. You hear of so many celebrities getting away with so much shit. Like, it's everywhere. Like,
it's
we don't even need to name names. Like, it's out there. It's happening
like
all the time.
Names are just, like, popping
exactly.
into my head
like,
in, like,
you,
such
you
frequency.
Can say, like, you can say, like, 5-10 names of people are easily getting away
and
with
especially
shit.
And especially in the climate of, like, the whole Me Too movement that's been happening recently, right? Like,
exactly.
There are so many names that have come out.
Exactly.
But yet there's this one sacred name.
Kiya, isne kuch nahi kiya. Like, that doesn't
that
make
it,
sense.
It's come out in the past, but somehow it's always been kind of,
and,
like, pushed under the rubble.
And then pushed under the rubble, and then also that whole thing of art versus artist.
Yeah.
Like, do you separate?
I
want to
get into that.
Yeah,
we'll
like,
get into that later. But
in like in all honesty, like after watching it, like I straight up believe them, man.
Yeah.
Straight up, I believe both of them. And these are just two people who have come out and spoken about it now.
Yeah.
Like we don't know. Like this was what 90. It started in
the late 80s,
right?
Late 80s.
From the late 80s, what Michael Jackson passed away in what 2005?
5-6.
Yeah. So from then till when he passed away. These are just two people who kind of came
out. Right,
and
then
there
were multiple other, like,
exactly.
There were two other lawsuits.
There were two other lawsuits.
And there are so many that haven't spoken a word yet. Like Macaulay Culkin.
Exactly. Like, he's never said anything. Good or bad. Like, he did come to court and testify in saying that Michael Jackson didn't do anything to him or whatever. But, like, that's again, like, the documentary only covers, like, 4 to 5 names. But there could be so many other people and or cases of kids who probably didn't even process what was happening. And again, like the age that they were kind of
subject to this,
right?
Like
the age, and
it's before you realize what sexuality is, what sex
is.
Yeah,
you don't even know any better. Like, to you, what this is me.
What he's touching me,
exactly.
Like this is something normal. Like what do I know, right? And and especially like you're going to hang out with this person who
exactly,
is your
exactly.
Who's played such a massive role in your life, in shaping your life, and your parents are supportive about this. It's kind of scary to think the overall picture, right? Like
when you look at it, like when we see it now as outsiders, right?
Yeah.
Like, dude, his mother was slacking. like you look at it like if you look at it as an outsider, it'd be like, oh, if I'm a parent, I'm never gonna let my child sleep in a room
the same
with
room
a 33-year-old man. But you need to understand, dude, this is not just any man.
This is Michael Jackson.
This is Michael Jackson. Like, he's the right. biggest celebrity. He's like equivalent of God. Like
at that time, yeah.
yeah
I mean, for
like,
any kid interested in music or dance at that time, like,
yeah,
that is God.
Like, it's more than being starstruck. It's
right.
much more than that.
I mean, I'm sure the parents were starstruck just as much as the kids
yeah,
were. And
like,
to know that he, like, and he directly played a huge role in, like, helping the careers of several others, right?
Exactly.
Like, Wade Robson benefited.
Yeah, like, Wade Robson definitely did get some sort of footing in the business because, to some extent, he was...
always associated with
associated
Michael
with
Jackson.
Michael Jackson, noticed, I mean, probably, is, I mean, he's fucking talented. There's
yeah,
no two ways
no
about his work.
About it, yeah.
But maybe he was given that one spark of opportunity because of his association with Michael Jackson.
Right. And this is again, I guess when we talk about a controversial topic as this and say that, you know, the parents, like, we would have sent our kids or, like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's hard to say that, it's hard to look back at it and, like, justify it or even, like, go against it, right?
Yeah,
it's,
like, I don't even know how the, like, when the
How
parents...
would you react in a situation like that? Because not only... are we starstruck? But there's also a trust built because he's been coming to our house
he's
for a long...
He's coming to your house,
he's hanging out with you.
It's crazy, dude. Like, my hair stands when I talk about Michael
right.
Jackson. Like, for the most part,
right.
if I'm talking about Michael Jackson, my hair stands. So it's like, imagine having him in your house. Like, you'll be like, yeah, okay, what
Sitting
do you
Sitting with
want?
You, getting
yeah.
you gifts.
And he'll be like, oh, I want to take you to dinner. How do you say no to
how
that?
How do you say no to that?
How do you deny, like, somebody of that genius?
Right.
And at the... peak of his career, like
yeah.
what late 80s,
early
90s,
that's
was
like,
oh my god,
that's when he was God.
Like
he
like
was,
he was everywhere. He was
yeah.
everywhere. That's when the Pepsi commercials happened.
The Pepsi commercial, the, like the when Bad was just about to
exactly,
come,
yeah.
right after
Thriller.
And everything.
It was that was like the it, like it was genius also on his part
that he was able to exploit the loopholes of his
so
fame
well.
And how beloved he was. I mean, when you think about like rock stars or when you think about pop musicians, usually there's like always a good and bad side to it. You know, like
yeah.
every like you hear about the drug stories. I mean, Kurt Cobain, everyone knew, you know, the drug usage.
Exactly.
So there was a distance you kept from these kind of personalities.
This
but with Michael Jackson, he's like a kid.
Exactly. He's like a kid.
He's like
See,
a kid.
Which again, that kind of plays like both the parents say he was like a son to us,
right? Right.
And like here you are treating somebody like your son and you come to know this person who you're treating like your son is trying to fuck your other son. That's
yeah,
messed
which
up,
which is
man.
Horrible.
Which is messed up.
Can you even think
up.
About
it's
the
crazy.
Implications that... And we saw this like in one of their mothers and I think this was Wade's mother that like Wade, after confronting the fact that this has happened to him
right,
all these
right.
years, like he turned on his mother.
Yeah. yeah.
Right? And I
no,
felt that was...
I think it was Wade's wife. Wade's wife was like, how could you do this
how
to
could
your
you do
child?
This to
yeah,
your son.
Yeah, yeah, that was...
And... Well, let's actually talk about Wade Robson for a second,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, because you and I have come across his work previously.
Yeah,
we've
been
huge fans
huge,
of his work.
And honestly, even I kind of was wondering where he disappeared.
Right. That's the thing. So he was one of the most prominent choreographers, like, in the early 2000s to the late 2000s.
Yeah, and he was, like, even when all his pieces on So You Think You Can Dance.
He won, like, the Emmy a couple
like,
times
yeah,
for that.
His pieces always stood out because of how quirky they were. And like, I don't know.
And how well thought out
well
it
thought.
Was.
And yeah. I think he paid a, like, because he's always wanted to be a director, cinematographer.
Yeah.
Like he kind of paid
the visuals.
A, like
event,
the visual,
yeah.
he paid attention to how it was shot and what happened where. And I think the guy is a genius. Like
right.
creatively he's a genius. And then he just
disappeared.
Disappeared
out of nowhere.
He just
from being at the peak
yeah,
of like the dance world.
And like the documentary does like have him talk about him not taking up, a certain big project apparently
yeah.
was it
step
I think
up.
It was Step Up he was supposed
yeah.
to
direct
one
of the
Step
Up
of the
Step
Ups and then he just had a kid at the time
yeah and then so, the depression kicked in according to the movie.
Man, I don't know how he kind of but for him to kind of he worked through all of it
right
like, his distraction was his
he didn't
work.
Confront it though
he didn't confront it he
yeah.
distracted himself with all the work he took.
And the moment he kind of slipped with that, that's when I think he actually confronted.
Yeah,
like,
that's when the realization happened. Like,
yeah,
shit,
like,
this
oh
is,
my gosh,
this
has
happened.
Happened.
This is real. And I think it only, like he mentions, right? It only, he had the real reality of it kick in only after he had a child.
Right.
And he keeps saying that he's like, oh, if I picture somebody doing this to my child, it angers me. But he's like, at the same time, I was in that position and like, he's like, I don't feel anything.
I didn't realize
and,
it.
And you know what? the weirdest thing about this whole documentary was, like, all of the people who speak about Michael Jackson, in their tone, you still hear them speak with so much love for him, which is so weird. Which is so weird. Like,
comprehend, right?
And even Wade says, like, I still love him. Like,
yeah.
Like, imagine, like, he was groomed. So, like, Michael Jackson groomed these people and
manipulated,
hypnotized, whatever, manipulated them in such a way that they still.
Even the parents still talk about him so fondly.
Yeah, in so with so much admiration, like, oh my God, he was such a nice person. And I mean, they hate him. They're
internally,
but
sure.
Like, it's like on camera, there's still so much love for Mike,
which
is so strange.
Shows me that, like, the years of, like, that personality just rubbing off on you.
Which
it
is
just
so scary, like.
And you think about it, if adults at this age are still susceptible to seeing this individual in a certain light, based on the manipulation, what
and
can
these
you talk
are
about
adults,
kids?
Exactly.
These are adults.
Like the impact he's had on the kids. And so he was always grooming the kids, right?
Right.
Like, which they all talk about how he kind of, like, would always talk to them saying, like, I love you.
Yeah.
And you can't really
trust
anybody.
And he tries turning them against their parents,
exactly,
as well. Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah,
a genius
yeah
move. This thing that he pulls, the conditioning of the kids and this sort of primary manipulation of sorts, was something I feel that happened to him also through his father. Because, like,
right,
I mean, there's no, it's no secret that Michael Jackson's dad,
he had an
was
abusive dad,
super hard on,
like,
them. Like,
yeah,
he didn't have a childhood because they were working through their childhood. Like, all
yeah
the Jackson 5. I mean, Michael Jackson was, it was pretty evident that
well
he was the star of the
and
lot.
And the spotlight was
the
on
spotlight
him from the
of
start
it.
Yeah.
But, like, his father was a taskmaster and they
yeah
didn't really have breaks. And then him being, not having a childhood and hanging out with his teenage brothers who were, like, sleeping with groupies,
yeah,
and him being in the other room or in the same room or whatever. All of that kind of has impacted the way he is.
There's no doubt that you, I mean, you can't separate the two, obviously. It's not mutually exclusive,
you
but
can't.
At the same time, it doesn't exonerate him from
no,
what
it,
he's
it
done
doesn't justify
yeah
anything, but it's like that's definitely something that has played a major role
for sure
in him becoming who he became.
Right.
And I'm not
right
saying the good side, I'm saying the bad side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, like, his father conditioning him to have a certain work ethic or whatever and not having a childhood and maybe feeding certain thoughts about how you work and whatever has kind of translated into him telling kids not to trust their parents.
Yeah.
And because he didn't trust his parents.
Why would
clearly
he trust his parents?
Clearly
he
didn't trust his parents.
No,
I mean, his dad at least, because his dad managed the Jackson 5.
Exactly.
If you don't know the Jackson 5, please look them up, yeah. Like, really, they
yeah
shouldn't be listening to this if you don't.
Right.
I don't know why I'm hating on people.
But, I mean, again, that again shows us that. So let's move on to, like, one of the main things, right? Like, what does it mean now that, yes, these are alleged stories. These are, these haven't been proven in court.
Right, right.
Michael Jackson has passed away. He's not there to defend his stories.
True.
But let's talk about, like, the artist versus art. The person, the
what
artist
do you,
versus
what
person
do you think? Do you think we can separate the two?
It's been difficult for me to consume
yeah
his music
I
or his work since. Since I've watched this, I kid you not, I have multiple playlists on my Spotify that are dedicated to Michael Jackson.
Jackson.
Like, my dance playlist is like largely filled with
exactly
Michael Jackson
exactly
stuff.
Exactly.
I haven't been able to go back to any of them yet.
Yet I haven't listened to anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I just watched the documentary what 2 days ago.
Right, right.
But I haven't listened to anything yet. But I'd already heard about it, and I don't know if I can stop listening to his music. To be very honest, obviously, the whole approach to it changes
right
now. But I don't think I'm going to stop listening to his music.
It's also, I think there's a big difference between how influential the artist was in your life, right? Like,
yeah,
I was able to boycott Kevin Spacey's work in a heartbeat once.
Yeah,
all
you don't even need to think about it. Like,
I loved his work. Like,
I
love watching
yeah, yeah
like whatever he's been in. But then ever since, like, reports came about all the sexual abuse
yeah
that he's been inflicting on
you
people,
you can cut off from a person.
I
like
completely
Kevin Spacey
cut off. And his work and anything he was associated with, and I didn't care about it anymore. But when it comes to Michael Jackson, there's that question mark in my head, and I just don't know how to respond to it. I don't know what's a right.
There is. I feel like there's no right and wrong answer. I mean,
because the right thing in my head, right, is that cut off from
cut
all
off,
this.
Yeah.
Because
that's
man
the moral
is
thing to do.
Right. So does it mean that I cut off work that he did as a child, because probably he was an innocent person when he was a child? Do I cut off all his work because of what he's done?
Yeah.
What
that's
what are
so
your
hard
thoughts on this?
And the thing is, like, even if you keep in mind, like, the amount of people he's influenced.
Right.
Right? Like, imagine, I mean, I'm not saying maybe we'd be in a better place for all I know musically if he didn't exist. I'm just saying if at
right.
all. But you'll never know. But, like,
maybe half the musicians out there today or dancers out there today wouldn't ever have chosen that line of what they did,
yeah,
because...
But, like, I feel like in terms of art versus artist, in terms of that argument, I feel like you can't separate the two.
Right.
Like, I mean, because I had this conversation with a friend, and like, just to get some perspective.
Yeah.
So my friend is of the opinion that you can separate the two because the person is just a medium for the art. The art has always existed, and the person has been the medium for which it came into the world. But I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. Like, for example, like, I'm an artist. The art I make is solely on the basis of
who you are as a person.
Who I am as a person, my influences, my experiences, my conscious, my subconscious mind.
Right.
So, like, everything I draw or everything I say is it's all me.
Right.
It's influenced by various things, but it's me. It's my individual identity. So whatever Michael Jackson did musically or creatively, it was him.
Right.
So how do you separate, like, how do you separate him as a person from his art? I don't think you can. In my opinion, you can't separate art from the artist. And, like, in terms of boycotting the artist, I don't know. Like, that is a question I'm not ready
right. So,
to answer.
So you're saying
yet.
That you can't separate the art from the artist. And I value what you say, and I think I believe it completely. But at the same time, you're also saying that you're not sure about the boycotting part.
I'm not sure. I've not yet made a decision on that, to be very honest. Like,
and it's a hard one to
make. Yes, because it's Michael Jackson. If it was anybody else, I'd be fine.
Have you experienced this with any other artist or musician or any other person for that matter?
Not that I can actively remember. Like Kevin Spacey, like we spoke, right? But I mean,
Louis C.K.
again, like,
I didn't care about them too much.
Yeah,
know, like,
yeah. These people don't matter. Like, and even if you shut off these people from your whatever consumption, like media consumption, it doesn't really change much. I mean, I don't know. Like, I haven't listened to Michael Jackson's music in a while.
Yeah.
But I do have moments when I just go and listen to his music at a get-go or go watch his videos or whatever. So.
Right.
Or, like, just do the moonwalk. Like, you can't not do the moonwalk, right? You know what
I mean? It's inbuilt into my
dance
DNA now.
It's exactly. It's like, oh, you can do the moonwalk. Like, I just was at a function, I did the moonwalk, and this kid comes up to me and says, oh, how did you learn to do the moonwalk?
Right.
So how do you take that out of who you are? Like, this is a question I'm still not ready to answer. Maybe when we talk again, probably I'll have
hopefully
more,
in a little while.
Yeah, maybe I'll have more perspective on the fact that, like, okay, maybe I've decided to completely stop listening to Michael Jackson and watching his videos, but that'll be a tough one, man. That'll be a tough one. Like, fuck Kevin Spacey, dude. I really loved American Beauty.
I
loved American
more.
Beauty. It's one of my favorite
what
films.
What a movie.
It's
but,
one of my favorite
but,
films.
But now when you look back at some of his work and the characters he's played,
he's a douche.
I'm like, oh my God. Like, there's some reality to, like, some of those weird characters that he's played.
Especially the guy he plays in this film. Baby Driver? Taxi Driver?
Yeah,
Baby
Driver.
Baby Driver, right?
Yeah,
Baby Driver.
Yeah. Oof.
Like, that's him. That's who he is. It's
and,
right
and,
there.
And even, what's the political show? Oh my God.
House of Cards. Yeah, I started,
There's that, like, manipulative,
dude, this is
freaky
you.
Freaky human being.
This is
yeah.
you. So, going back to the Michael Jackson documentary, what, I'm going back to it because.
Yeah, please do.
What I feel that people didn't question at that point of time, which now in retrospect, it's like, why didn't anybody question that, right?
Mm.
So he had a pattern. There was clearly a pattern.
Oh, come on.
There was
yeah.
a new kid boy of a certain
who always
age
would
who was always
replace,
with him
yeah.
at events.
And walking with him everywhere.
And walking
yeah.
with him hand in hand. Like, why did nobody question this? Why did nobody
I think there
find
were questions, but like we're not in the age of like the kind of social media outrage that
true.
We are subjected
yeah, that,
to today.
Yeah, maybe today it would be much.
That's
way,
one. The
that's
second
true.
Is when the questions came, he had that image, right? Like, I'm a kid. They lie in my bed. Like
he
the
did.
Interview with Oprah, which he did, which was like this groundbreaking one where he talked about his
child
abuse that he got
after
from his
parents. After the case got...
right. This. And all he said was, yes, I do have them in my bed. I'm a kid.
Yeah,
I play with
yeah,
them.
Fuck.
And
Oprah
you,
believed that shit. Damn you,
well,
Oprah.
Oprah produced this documentary.
Yeah, she produced this. Okay, well done, Oprah.
She's turned around now.
She sees like full circle for Oprah.
Right.
Oprah's cool though. I like her. She's cool. Though. I don't want people hating on me because I said something about Oprah. She's cool. It's so strange. And also, you know, the pattern, like, why do people pick up on that?
Yeah.
You're right, because social media was very different.
Right, but it wasn't a hard pattern to pick up on because there's all a kid with him at all times.
I watched the documentary and I was like, shit, there's a pattern to this. Why did nobody see this happen? Like, why did nobody question it even once? Or maybe people did and they squashed them.
Right.
Like, he had a shit ton of money.
Oh, man. At that time, I mean, his estate is still one of them.
Also, something very interesting that I noticed. His first lawsuit that was filed against him by one of the kids. Jordan Chandler.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who his lawyer was? Johnny Cochran.
Yes, from...
This guy's lawyer. What's his name? O.J. Simpson's lawyer.
O.J. Simpson's lawyer.
Like, dude, he had, like, literally the best lawyer ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that's Johnny Cochran.
I mean...
Defending Michael Jackson. There's no way he's losing this case.
He's one of the richest performance artists out there. You know, there's no doubt that he's going to have the best... lawyer out there
that's crazy and that says so much about Johnny Cochran and the kind of people he worked for.
Well, he wanted the big cases.
He wanted the big cases.
If you watch the O.J. Simpson show as well,
that's such a great show.
Another great show. We digress, but anyway, we're running short on time, but let's talk about what have you got going on these days. Where can people follow your work? What are you doing these days? This is your plug.
Shameless self-promotion. I'm just going to promote my art. You can follow me on Instagram @ Indra the Second.
I will be posting it on...
Link it up. So
yep.
Basically, I'm an artist. I can finally call myself an artist now, I think.
You've always been an artist.
Yeah, but like I was never confident enough to say it out loud when I met people. Like, just be like, oh, I draw. Like, now I'm not scared of showing people my sketchbook.
Yeah.
Like, maybe 5 years ago, I'd be like, oh, no,
really?
don't look. Yeah. This is
something we need to explore in another episode.
Yeah, it's taking some time. But yeah, Instagram @ Indra the Second. I also...
How would you describe your art, just for our audience? What is your art like? It's very unique. I haven't seen anything like it. I'll say that.
I honestly don't know. I would say it's a mix between... I doodle a lot, but it kind of has more form now. Like, 'cause doodles is like mindless stuff. Like, my stuff is kind of has a doodle background to it.
You make statements with your art, man.
I try. I don't really. Yeah. I mean, I try. It's honestly, it was initially. It just started off as me sketching to kind of kill time, and now it's become like a routine. Like, I can't sit and watch anything on Netflix or without sketching. Like, I'm always sketching if I'm sitting at home. It's very rare that I'm not sketching. But I don't know about describing my art. I don't know, man. Fuck. I don't know. I really can't.
It's really unique. And it's again, unique, one of a kind.
Listen to Anurag. He says it.
I'm a fan of his work. I've been since 2010. What's some kind of music or anything that you've listened to recently that's been super influential for you?
What have I been listening to? Shit.
What would you recommend? And you're into, like... You're somebody who, like, finds... stuff before anybody else.
So
when it comes,
like, I'm doing a Spotify plug for, I don't even know why. Listen to just get Spotify. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna plug some of my friends actually.
Please do.
There's this crew in Mumbai called FTS. They're a rap crew, about five. I think there are five of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we met them sometime last year. And so, like, because I've always been a hip hop head.
Right.
And with the whole hip hop movement kind of gaining momentum over the past 2 years or so, it was fun to watch them. So we met this crew called the FTS crew. So check out FTS online.
I haven't listened to it.
And FTS has a couple of rappers from Bombay, like TNRs, Quest, Nuke, AB Spectre, and Racing 47. So check them out. Shout out FTS. And also a set of rappers from, there's this duo from Delhi called Seedhe Maut.
What a name.
You have to check them out. By far, my favorite kind of live rap duos in India right now. I've seen them live a couple of times. They are fire. So that's super local.
Right.
You check out FTS music. And
take his word for it. If he suggests that, means they're blowing up soon.
We've also done a friend of mine did an interview with FTS as well. So we have a YouTube video to that, which I can probably share with you. And also shout out Sputnik, who is a drum and bass DJ also from Bombay. This guy named Shannon George. super, super crazy artist. I'll link you up with his drum and bass music.
Oh,
one of the most
awesome.
Brilliant producers and DJs I've met in the past year.
Maybe I can bring him on the show at
Dude,
some
you
point.
Should, you
that'd
should.
Be awesome.
Oh man,
channel yeah,
is super
yeah.
chill. We did something with him, and we did like a car set with him, and he played us some music. It was insane.
Basically, what Newman's saying is that he's a super creative, hanging out with a lot of other creative people.
I try.
And he's a bunch of fun as well. So, Newman, thanks for doing this, buddy.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
This was awesome.